Hey, 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 what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region. Skip Daly here. Flying solo, once again, Julie is out on assignment, so you're stuck with just me. But this week has been pretty exciting. It was the beginning of normalcy as Bloomington and Monroe County have joined the rest of the state of Indiana in loosening some of its COVID-related restrictions. Face coverings are no longer being mandated. Well, that's other than government buildings and public transportation and such. Although some private retail operations also still have policies which are more stringent. And let's see, events in retail are also back to full capacity, so things are looking up. Also happening this week, Bloomington's Mayor John Hamilton addressed City Council about his annexation plans. He said, quote, "Tonight involves no final votes, but rather is picking up where we left off in 2017 to update information, a step required because of the state legislature's precipitous interruption midway through that orderly process 4 years ago," he said. He continued saying, "As most are now aware, a few months ago, the Indiana Supreme Court ruled that the interruption violated our state's constitution, illegally targeting one community and interfering in Bloomington's ability to manage their affairs. That decision allows us here tonight to resume the process from the point at which it was interrupted," end quote. And that was Mayor John Hamilton addressing City Council, talking about his plans to continue the process of annexation, which a lot of folks back in 2016, 2017, when those plans were first brought to light, thought of as a land grab. Folks came out in large numbers to public meetings, voicing their opinions, most of which seemed to be against being annexed. But we'll see what happens. You have the opportunity to check out the process at this point. You can go to bloomington.in.gov, and right there in the middle of the page, you can see a big tab that says annexation. Go ahead and click that for all the latest information. Show up if you're for it, or show up if you're against it. Show up, be part of the process one way or another. Today is May 21st. Let's take a look back at this week in history. On May 17th in 1792, the New York Stock Exchange was formed. On May 18th in 1933, President Franklin Roosevelt signed an act creating the Tennessee Valley Authority, a federally owned corporation in the United States, to provide navigation, flood control, electricity generation, fertilizer manufacturing, and economic development to the Tennessee Valley, a region particularly affected by the Great Depression. On May 19th in 1883, Buffalo Bill's very first Buffalo Bill's Wild West show opened up in Omaha, Nebraska. On May 20th, in the year 325, the first Council of Nicaea was formally opened, and that is where they chose the writings which would then become the Christian Bible. And on May 21st in 1881, the American Red Cross was established in Washington, D.C., and that was founded by Clara Barton. And our celebrity birthday today, turning 69 years of age, Mr. T, of course. You know him, you love him. He rose to popularity back in the 80s as B.A. Baracus on the A-Team. He also fought Rocky Balboa in one of those films. I want to say Rocky 3, but I'm not positive. If you know the answer to that, go ahead and shoot us a message on Facebook. But I believe his character was Clubber Lang in that movie. All right, well, let's take a look at what we have on the show today. We're going to welcome Vic Kelson with an update on Bloomington Utility Projects. He is the director of the City of Bloomington Utilities Department. Our community update is brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon, and we feature the music of Craig Brenner and the Crawdads all month long. But first, your local news headlines are brought to us by American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, providing innovative and smart money options for life and health insurance and investments. American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, online at asbofindiana.com. Now here's what's happening. Governor Eric Holcomb announced that Indiana will end its participation in all federally funded pandemic unemployment insurance programs effective June the 19th. The programs that will end are Federal Pandemic Unemployment Compensation, Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, and Mixed Earner Unemployment Compensation. Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita has joined forces with several other attorney generals in the country, drafting a complaint to the Biden administration over his proposed support in promoting what Rokita described as, quote, deeply flawed and controversial teachings of critical race theory and the 1619 Project, end quote. Rokita says that no grants should be made available for funding projects that are based on a belief that characterizes the United States as irredeemably racist or founded on principles of racism, as opposed to principles of equality. He believes that critical race theory distorts a proper education of our nation's history. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb has stated that he will not approve any monetary incentives for those to receive a COVID-19 vaccination. Neighboring state Ohio has recently announced a $1 million lottery system for those who are vaccinated and will also provide college scholarships to those under 18 who get the vaccine. Holcomb has not addressed whether or not his decision has been partially based on potential future lawsuits on the matter. Hoosier voters are beginning to receive postcards in the mail from the Secretary of State's office. The office is mailing these postcards as part of a statewide voter list refresh. The goal is to identify outdated and inaccurate voter registration information to improve the accuracy and integrity of Indiana's voter registration list. Postcards that are returned to the office as undeliverable will be used to identify outdated voter registration information. Hoosiers should use the postcard as a reminder to verify, update, or start a voter registration online at indianavoters.com. An affordable homeownership program funded through Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton's Recover Forward initiative has successfully helped a first participant purchase a home of her own. Through the Shared Appreciation Homeownership Program, the first-time homeowner was able to purchase a home with a zero-interest loan from the city, repayable upon the future sale to another income-eligible buyer. The program provides at least 20% of the purchase price, up to $50,000, in exchange for permanent affordability of the home through shared appreciation. The program was launched in the summer of 2020 as part of a package to help Bloomington recover from the pandemic and economic collapse. The Whole Women's Health Alliance, along with several Planned Parenthood organizations throughout the country, have filed suit against the state of Indiana over House Bill 1577, and that is a new law recently signed into effect which requires physicians to explain to their patients about a procedure that allegedly reverses a medication-induced abortion. The bill was enacted in order to ensure that pregnant patients have all available information, although some doctors believe that there is not enough evidence that the procedure is safe and effective. And the Monroe County Waste Management District has reopened its district reuse programs, including donations and shopping for the trading posts, reuse sidewalk, the material for the arts facility, and the household hazardous waste has-been room. Masks will no longer be required at district facilities, and no vehicle limits are in place. County officials still encourage masks and safe distancing while requesting that patrons be respectful and mindful of others. Visit GoGreenDistrict.com for their schedules. And those are your local headlines. We'll be back with more of what's happening after this quick break.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan from newborn to 89 years old. From term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com. Welcome back. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. Skip Daly here, and that was the music of Craig and the Crawdads. Our community update is brought to us by the world-famous, family-friendly Porthole Inn, the gem of Lake Lemon. The Porthole features amazing food, and their outdoor live music schedule is underway. Check them out on Facebook for more details. The Bloomington Strawberry Shortcake Festival is back Thursday, June the 10th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Switchyard Park Pavilion in Bloomington. This is an annual fundraising event for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Bloomington. This year, you can also pre-order, and they offer both residential and business delivery options. Check them out online at bgcbloomington.org. Once again, that's bgcbloomington.org. And this year's Strawberry Fest, once again, June 10th at Switchyard Park Pavilion. And today, our guest on the show, Vic Kelson, Director of the Department of Utilities for the City of Bloomington. Vic, it's been a little while since you've been on with us. How have you been?
Been well. It's been a pretty busy time going through the pandemic. I guess the last time we talked was when we were doing the sewer rate case, I think, 2019.
Believe that's the case. Came on and explained the need for rate increase. And how's that going, by the way?
It's been going well. One of the big things on that rate increase was to pay for bonds that support the modernization of the Dillman plant. That's a $23 million project. We're about 40% of the way through it right now. We expect to be 70% of the way through it by the end of the year and complete next year. And that project's going to save a lot of electricity because of the more modern blowers and control systems that we're going to have there. So that's a really good and interesting project, and it's moving along really well.
Before we get too far into talking about some of the projects that you've taken on recently, give us a quick overview. I know it seems like it's kind of a no-brainer what the utilities department does, but give us a quick bullet point explanation of what's under your purview.
So City of Bloomington Utilities is the sewer and the stormwater utility for the City of Bloomington. In addition to the City of Bloomington, we do have some sewer customers who reside outside of the city limits, and we do sell water to wholesale customers that serve essentially everybody in Monroe County who doesn't have a well, and a few people in Brown County and Greene County as well. So overall, we serve about 140,000 individuals in the City of Bloomington. We serve about 27,000 service connections. But then in the city, we also provide the sewer customers in the city and outside, and we're the stormwater utility inside the City of Bloomington, and that serves only city residents.
We talked a little bit just a minute ago about the health emergency. How exactly did COVID impact your department?
We basically had to keep everything going. One of the interesting things about being a water utility or sewer utility is you kind of become invisible, and you want to continue to be invisible. That is, people don't notice us unless something breaks. So we've got to be there when things break. We have to be able to repair things in a timely fashion. So some of our divisions, for example, the people working at the plants, we've had to implement distancing and mask regulations inside the plants to keep our operators safe when they're on the job. You certainly don't want to end up in a situation where you have a bunch of water treatment operators that are out with COVID. And we've been very successful in that. The people out in the maintenance garage that go and fix main breaks or clean out plugged sewers or any of those kinds of things, they've been pretty much doing their regular jobs, subject to the distancing and mask requirements, sanitation of all of our facilities and so forth. A lot of our other employees have been able to work from home. I've worked from home quite a bit, and a lot of our other employees have worked from home quite a lot. And one of the things that customers might notice is that we actually closed the front door to the service center. So we're not taking walk-in customer service anymore at this point. We have a Dropbox, as we've had before. We put in a new, better Dropbox inside the entryway at the service center. And we've stepped up our abilities to do both phone and email service. And we really haven't had any complaints about that. Other utilities you don't go drop off your gas bill at Vectren anymore. And so it's, I think people are pretty used to it. So our engineers have had to keep working on engineering projects. We continue to do water main replacement work. We continue to do all the things that we do, but we've had to adjust to working conditions and having a lot of people work at home. So the office is much, much emptier than it was before.
You mentioned that you have to fix things when they break. It was about a year or so ago, actually, I think it was right as the pandemic hit, that we were finding a lot of water mains that were busting or deteriorating. What was going on with that? And is that under control?
Well, so the thing about water main breaks is that they're a little bit stochastic. They happen kind of randomly. There are some things that actually are patterns, though. And one of the patterns is that if you think about water temperature, in the wintertime, the lake water coming into the plant is maybe 36 or 37 degrees. In the summertime, it can get up into the 80s. So what that means is that in part of the year, you're putting cold water in the pipes, part of the year, you're putting hot water in the pipes, and part of the year, you're putting sort of in the middle. And what that means is that the pipes shrink and grow just a little bit with temperature. We found, we did a detailed analysis of the data, and we found that wintertime is when we get most of the main breaks. What happens is they'll just happen sort of randomly, but not entirely randomly. So, for example, we talked about at the beginning of the pandemic, we had a rash of main breaks in the early part of 2020. But then through the summer of 2020, we went 105 days without one. So they on average, we end up with a little over 100 a year, about 100 to 110 per year. The industry average is about 0.25 main breaks per year per mile of pipe. And we have around 430 miles of pipe, so we're pretty close to that, about 100 a year. Obviously, we want to get that down. We're taking steps to reduce the frequency of main breaks, especially replacing older pipes that may be degraded after years of service or corroded from soil chemistry or whatnot. So they come and go. And what happens is that in the middle of the winter or January, you might get five in a week and people think, oh my goodness, what's happening? It's all falling apart. And then the summertime, you go weeks without.
All right, Vic, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, you guys have a pretty significant project going on through the infrastructure of Bloomington right now. We're going to get more into that when we return. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com. And we're back. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. And that was the music of Craig Brenner and the Crawdads. Our guest today, Vic Kelson, director of the Utilities Department for the City of Bloomington. Now, Vic, when we left, we were talking about all sorts of things utility-wise. You were describing about how even though we had a rash of water mains all at one point last year, right when it seemed like the pandemic was hitting as well, you kind of leveled off and were at a normal point with that. But what I'm interested in learning about today is this big project that you have going on, something about an underwater lake or an underwater river. Is that what it is?
It's an underground river.
Underground. Okay. Something about this underground river. How's that?
That's good. You may not know this, but there's a creek that flows through the middle of the eastern part of downtown, and it's actually it used to be called the Jordan River. Now I use temporarily calling it the Campus River while they decide what to rename it. When it comes out of downtown, it's Clear Creek, so I think of it as Clear Creek. People have been around for a while. Remember back in the 1990s, late 1990s, there was a project that was colloquially called the Big Dig, where basically the eastern end of Kirkwood Avenue was torn up. Storm sewer was constructed, starting near Dunmeadow and going down. And ultimately, it went to about 4th and Grant. So it goes right through the middle of all of that. And I remember it. I was in grad school. I remember looking in the hole. We also, shortly after that, completed the downstream section of that tunnel, and it goes basically from First and Washington down to what is now Switchyard Park. So that southern part is done. But the middle part, which is between 1,800 and 1,900 feet long, was left undone, largely because of cost reasons, and just hadn't been done. A few years ago, actually, it was my first year on the job at Utilities, we had it was discovered that there was structural degradation of the tunnel underneath the intersection at 3rd and Lincoln. And we shut that down for several weeks while we put a temporary fix on top. And that was estimated to have about a 5-year life. And we're getting close to 5 years now. So we did a revision of the city's stormwater fee to pay for this project. It's basically progressing right now, and we expect it to be done sometime next year. It starts down in the south around 1st and Washington, basically goes up Washington Street through 3rd Street Park, and then across 3rd and Lincoln, right behind the police department and the fire station, and then down, basically down the alley between up to about 4th and Grant. So it's a significant project. Other utilities that had to be relocated, sewer, phone, as you imagine, sewer, phone, electrical, and gas all had to be relocated as this project was proceeding. So that creates quite a lot of coordination that has to happen. So that project, when we get done, we'll have a new tunnel that is about 5 feet by 20 or 24 feet concrete box culvert that goes down through the city. And it will connect up the upstream portion and the downstream portion that were already done. Why? Well, the old one was built in the early 1900s, and it was obviously degrading from age. But also, over those 100 and some odd years, IU has become much more, there's a lot more impermeable surface. There are more buildings, there are more parking lots, there are more of those kinds of things, which create higher short-term flow rates during rain events. And then also, with climate change, we're seeing more frequent, very large downpours than we had seen previously. All of those things lead to overflows or overcapacity flow rates in that whole conduit. And a lot of what it'll manifest itself as flooding at Dunmeadow and at 6th and Indiana is one of the places where we'll get significant flooding. February 2019, that intersection was really inundated with water. So the purpose of the project is to replace infrastructure that is aging and to increase the capacity of the system to move water. One discussion that comes up on these kinds of projects is that of opening them, daylighting these kinds of tunnels and making it more like the stream might have been before the city was here. That's really not practical in the middle of a built environment like Bloomington. So we weren't able to do that for this section of the conduit. So that's what the project is. We've had to do, you know, there've been traffic disruptions over on Washington Street, and we're getting ready to do 3rd and Lincoln in the next months as we go forward. So it's a big project.
When are you expected to have this completed?
It was set, it was expected to be, the engineering estimate was that it would be a 2-year project. We began in February. The contractor is working as hard as they can to get it done as quickly as possible. So we're hopeful that we'll get it done in less than 2 years, but probably it'll be something between a year and 2 years. Sometime next year will be done.
All right, Vic. And what's the total cost?
$13 million. So it's an expensive project. And when we're done, what will be left is that the inlet at near Dunn Meadow is actually undersized for the maximum flow. We didn't want to, we couldn't expand that until the whole tunnel was done. So after this is done, we'll have to do that last inlet. And then the whole thing will be done.
Well, it sounds like you've been busy, but we do appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Now, before we leave, you've got about a minute and a half here. What would you like to leave our audience with?
Well, two things. One is that we've replaced all of our water meters with radio read meters that are read remotely. Please visit the bloomington.in.gov/utilities website and sign up for the customer portal. You can actually look at your water use hour by hour and set alerts. So if you have a leak, you'll get an email telling you that there's something leaking in your house. So we really encourage all our customers to sign up for the web portal. The other thing is, since we're talking about stormwater, we have an Adopt a Drain program. So if you have a storm drain near your home and you'd like to help keep your neighborhood from flooding, you can sign up for Adopt a Drain. We'll show you how to help make sure that the drains stay clear to help out the whole neighborhood. And then finally, every year now, this is the third year, we're doing the Residential Stormwater Grant Program. If you have stormwater issues on your property that might want some help with, or maybe you and some neighbors have a shared problem that you'd like to deal with, please reach out to our department. We'll be starting another grant award program next January. We're in the middle of the award phase process right now for this year, but next January, we'll be starting it up again. So please check in with us if you have any questions about stormwater.
Well, Vic, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you providing all this information about the projects that you have going on. You've been busy.
Yeah, very. Thanks for having me on again.
All right. We'd also like to thank our friends at the Porthole Inn for sponsoring our community update, and Craig and the Crawdads for providing our music for the month of May. On behalf of Julie and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us each and every week as we keep you in touch with what's happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.